Let us pray.
Almighty God, which through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly beseech you that as by your special grace, preventing us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I occasionally like to go catch a hockey game. So about a month and a half ago, my oldest brother and I went down to the AT&T Center to watch the Rampage play. And usually the arena is only half full, but this time was different. As we pulled into the parking lot, it almost felt like a Spurs game. Simply put, we didn't know what was going on. This was quite unusual. We thought the increase in attendance was due to the opposing team. But as we entered the doors of the building, everything became pink. And I mean everything. Pink was everywhere. The attire of the fans, the jerseys of the players, even the ice in the ring had been dyed pink. And then I realized it was February, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it hit me that probably most of those wearing pink had been affected by the disease. And as I took in the view, scoping out this great multitude of pink, I became very unsettled and angry. I could only imagine how much pain and heartache and tears this disease had incurred and how many lives it had claimed. How many had felt the sting of death because of its grip? You see, it's easy to become cynical when we take a look at the suffering and the decay of the world around us. It's easy to fold up our arms and say that all is vanity. Everything is in a state of decay and death. Winter has come, and it holds us in its cold, cold hand. These were the flood of thoughts that came upon me as I sat freezing in my seat. But then a wave of warmth passed through me as I looked around the pink stadium and realized that these people also had hope. Yes, they had been touched by misery. Yes, they had been touched by sorrow, but they lived in hope. And they had great courage. And I thought about the Christian life. For the Christian, the best is always yet to come. Why is this the case? Because Jesus has swallowed up death forever. The grave could not hold him down. He was raised to newness of life. And this means that God's new day has already dawned. This means that everything has changed already. The snow of winter is melting. The flowers are breaking through the ice. Our pessimism about the world is being washed away. Because not only has everything changed already, but everything will change. Our world, even you and me. God will fulfill His promise to make all things new. And so the best is always yet to come. For Christians, because we live with the hope of spring since Jesus conquered death and the grave. Everything has already changed, and everything will change. The prophet Isaiah gives us a glimpse of our living hope in our reading today. He beautifully and poetically depicts the people of God in the eternal city of the New Jerusalem. You see, spring is not a time of gloom. It's a time of festivity and celebration. And the imagery given to us is that of a wonderful feast. A delicious banquet for all the people of the world. The best wine ever will be served. Clear, well-aged wine with all the delightful nuances on the tongue. Merlots, Cabernets, Zinfandels. The best meats ever will be there, will be served, choice meats. I imagine for us Texans that would well include brisket. You see, the winter clouds of melancholy are removed. The drapes of death that hang over the earth are taken down. God has swallowed up death forever. And he can do this because he's God. Because he's the author of life eternal. In keeping with our winter spring imagery, C.S. Lewis's writing is helpful, I think. You see, in his children's classic, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the land of Narnia is ruled by a great tyrant, the White Witch. She has put the entire land in a state of unending winter. Everyone suffers because of it. It's certainly not any fun. But the creatures of Narnia live in hope that Aslan, the great lion, is coming. And when he does, winter will meet its death. They live with the hope of spring. Well, notice in Isaiah that not only is death swallowed up forever, but God is an eternal comfort to his people. Let's fathom the imagery going on here. God's wiping away all tears. That is the closeness of proximity we have with our Heavenly Father. And the Lord has promised all these great things for his people. So naturally, there's going to be a response of joy and thanksgiving. Isaiah writes, "In that day the people will proclaim, 'This is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings.'" In other words, this is really something to shout about. God has fulfilled his promises. Winter is past. Spring has come. Salvation has been won. Isaiah's message is extremely uplifting. Everything will change. But on this Easter morning, we also reflect on the fact that everything has already changed. The dawn of God's new day has already come with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Spring is continually breaking into our reality, breaking through the snows of winter. Our gospel passage today gives the account of the women coming to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They come to the tomb in grief. They come to the tomb in mourning. They come expecting the finality of the grave. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" they ask. Who indeed? Death is too great an enemy for us, but not so for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no power of ourselves to roll the stone away. God must come. God most surely has that power. And so as the women arrive at the tomb, as they arrive, the incredibly large stone has already been rolled aside. They enter the grave, as we all must one day. But instead of death, they discover quite the opposite. They are greeted by an angel, a messenger of God Almighty. And the angel tells them wonderful news. "Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." What was their response to death being swallowed up by life? Trembling. Bewilderment. They were awestruck. The one who had just endured the scrutiny of the Roman cross, who was crucified, whose body was placed in this tomb, was now alive. Can you imagine what must have been running through their heads as they headed back home to tell the disciples? The dawn of God's new day had broken into our world. The hope of spring had burst through the gloom of winter. Everything had changed because Jesus was raised from the dead. Everything will change as the hope of spring continues to spread and the reign and the rule of God makes all things new. So what are we to do then? How do we live with the hope of spring between the times? Jesus has been raised. He has swallowed up death forever. Because of this, everything has changed already. Yet we still wait for the completion when everything will be made new. We wait in hope. For those who have union with Christ by faith, we have already been raised to a new life. Paul writes about this in our Colossians passage for today. The hope of God's new world already lives within us because we have the life of Christ. And because we have this hope already, because we have this life already, we can look at this world we live in and cry out for the fullness of spring. We long and we cry out for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the new heaven and the new earth. We long and we cry out for God's kingdom to come, to break in. Because of Jesus, we can stare into the face of winter. We can stare into the face of winter and boast, O death, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Even when we lose loved ones in Christ, as I'm sure we all have, we can have bold confidence in the victory we have in Jesus. Paul writes, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So I attempted to convey this optimism in a song. And I thought to myself, how can I best express our hope in Jesus Christ against the death grip of winter? How can I mock death, in other words? I know. I'll use the ukulele. It's such a happy instrument. So here it is, the hope of spring. The lyrics are in your bulletins if you want to follow along. Full of the hope of spring. everything has changed. Everything will change. As I said earlier, for Christians, the best is always yet to come. Always. That's why we can now live in hope, for when everything will change, because Jesus' resurrection has already changed everything. The optimism of spring continues to break into the pessimism of winter. This is why when we come to this table, we are not just remembering Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross, although we certainly do that, but we also anticipate the hope and the joy of the world to come. And it's this anticipation that I want us all to focus on right now. This meal, right here, right now, points beyond itself toward the feast to come, where we are reminded not just of the great banquet that awaits us, but the end of death and sorrow, and most importantly, our union with Jesus Christ forever. Forever. We come to this table with hope. The hope of spring. As Derek Webb sings, everything's going to change, and nothing's going to stay the way it is. One day you'll wake, and the curse will break, and even you won't be the same. Your hope is not wasted on the day when everything will change. And on that day, there will be no time for suffering. And on that day, no hunger and no thirst. And on that day, we'll run out of time for death and tears. No wonder they call it glorious. As we come to this table and partake of this bread and this wine, we are filled with the life of Christ. We are renewed. We are refreshed. We are restored. And we go forth from this place filled with the hope of spring in the midst of a world filled with pessimism. There will be many times we will have to look winter in the face. Many times. But we are meant to go and tell and say that Jesus has already changed everything and that everything will change. There is still so much pain and suffering and misery and violence in the world, but God is faithful. He will fulfill His promise. He will finish that which He has started. The glory of His kingdom is continually breaking into our world. So as we go forth from this place into the world, into the busyness of our daily lives, let us go forth remembering that everything has already changed because of Jesus' victory over the grave. But also let us equally anticipate the hope of spring. The hope of spring when one day everything will change. Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection has delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.